Right, again, as we turn to this wonderful passage of Scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And there the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. And Samuel was laid down to sleep. But the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, or here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. Amen. We'll end our reading at verse 10. Knowing again the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Let's bow again in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider this passage of Scripture tonight. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy precious word. And O God, we pray tonight as we turn to the sacred page again that you would come and speak to all of our hearts. That you would bless those of us who are saved, those of us who are converted. And O God, that you would remind us again of the great blessing of being saved by the grace of God. We pray for those in the service tonight who are still strangers to grace and to God. That even this would be the night that they would come to know Christ, whom to know is life eternal. O God, we thank thee for the message of the gospel. And we thank thee that it's still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And we pray tonight, Lord, that there might be newborn babes, O God, that will come to Christ. Trust the Lord Jesus as their own and personal Redeemer. We pray, Lord, that you would anoint us now with thy power. For in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. The greatest day in the life of any child of God is the day of their conversion. During the life of the prophet Samuel, he experienced many great and wonderful days during which he knew the power of God in his life. Samuel was undoubtedly one of the greatest servants of God that ever came to the fore in the history of Israel. And of course, if you've ever studied his life, you will know that God blessed Samuel in so many ways. But the greatest day in Samuel's life, of course, was the day he met the Lord and was saved by the grace of God. Conversion takes place in a moment of time, but it lasts for all eternity. Conversion is something that all men need, but few men want. Conversion changes the life because it changes the heart. And the night that Samuel was saved, his life was changed forever. He began to walk with God, and God began to talk to him. This portion of Scripture that we have read, as I have said, is a familiar portion of Scripture to most of us. But maybe it's not a familiar portion of Scripture to you. If you're in the meeting tonight and you're not saved, you're not converted, maybe you have never considered the conversion of Samuel. And maybe you have never read this portion of Scripture before. But certainly, this portion of Scripture emphasizes to us the necessity of every person to be saved and to be born again of the Spirit of God, to experience God's wonderful redemption and God's wonderful salvation. And I pray tonight that if you're found in this gospel service and you're still a stranger to grace and to God, that even this will be the day, this will be the night, this will be the time when you will come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Very simply tonight, I want to preach about the conversion of Samuel. The conversion of Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 3 reveals unto us the necessity for all men to be saved. And I pray this evening that if you're found in the meeting and you're not a Christian, that you will come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ this evening. Now what do we learn here about this wonderful conversion that is recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 3? Well, I want you to notice very simply a number of things here. First of all, I want you to notice the age at which Samuel was converted. In 1 Samuel 3 verse 1 it says, "And the child Samuel." I want you to underline those words, because here the Holy Spirit draws our attention to the fact that Samuel was a child. The Bible does not tell us exactly what age Samuel was when he was converted. Verse 1 of this chapter tells us that he was a child. Samuel probably was no older than 7 or 8 years of age, and maybe he was even younger. But one thing is sure, the night Samuel was saved, he was only a young child. And I believe with all my heart that we have here recorded in this portion of Scripture the night of his conversion. We'll see that in a moment, very clearly indeed. But Samuel had been brought to the temple by his mother in order to help Eli, the high priest, when he was a very young boy, a very young child. It was while Samuel was working in the temple that God spoke to him, that God called him, and that God saved his precious soul. We learn something very important here. It's a very simple truth, but I believe it's a very important truth. Children need God's salvation as much as adults. Young people need to be converted as much as old people. Now, all need to be converted. And if you're in the meeting tonight and you're in the winter of life, you need to be saved and converted this evening as well, as much as the youngest child. But what is being emphasized to us here? That even the children need to hear the gospel, and the children need to have impressed upon them their need of God's eternal salvation. In Mark 10 verse 14, Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." And in Matthew 18 verse 6, Jesus said, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones," speaking of the children, "which believe in me." So as far as the Lord Jesus Christ was concerned, when he walked upon this scene of time, he certainly taught the necessity of children, not only to hear the gospel, but the necessity of children to be saved and to believe on him. We should never despise the conversion of children. Indeed, we must encourage the little ones to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We often sing that little chorus in the children's meetings, "A little child of 7 or even 3 or 4 may enter into heaven through Christ the open door. But could I say this? No matter what age you are tonight, you need to be converted. You need to be redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. You need to be born again of the Spirit of God. Why? Because sin is in the hearts of all men from birth. And we found that out this morning. And also because hell is the portion of all men who die in their sin. And of course we also learned that this morning as well. No matter how many privileges young people may have, being born into a Christian home, brought up under the sound of the gospel, no matter how many privileges children may have and young people may have, they must experience the new birth. And certainly as far as young Samuel was concerned, he was no different. I wonder tonight, as we're gathered in God's house under the sound of God's precious word, are you converted? Have you received God's wonderful salvation? We spoke this morning about young Timothy, how he was brought up in the Scriptures, taught the Scriptures from his earliest days. And it was the Scriptures, of course, that led him to Christ. His mother and his grandmother teaching him the Word of God that opened up his blinded mind to see his need of Christ. And of course, the Bible is the key of knowledge. And that's the reason why we preach the Word of God. And that's why we exhort men and women to read the Word of God, the Bible, for themselves. Because thank God this book is a revelation of God's truth to sinful man. And it reveals unto us not only our need of salvation, but it reveals unto us how we can be saved. And of course, there's only one way to be saved, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the only Redeemer. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Are there children here tonight and you're not saved? Well, then you need to come and put your faith in Christ. No matter what age you are, thank God this evening you can come and be gloriously converted to Christ. Now notice something else. Not only the age that Samuel got saved, but I want you to notice the circumstances of Samuel's conversion. Not everyone's circumstances are the same when they're born into this world. Some children are born into Christian homes, others are born into ungodly homes. Some children are born into poverty, others are born into wealth and riches. When Samuel was born, he had many privileges. Now this morning we were considering the privileges that Esau and Jacob had. And Samuel too, when you study this portion of Scripture, indeed when you study the first chapters of 1 Samuel, you recognize that Samuel too, like Esau and Jacob, had many wonderful privileges. If you turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 1, you will notice, first of all, that he had the privilege of a godly mother who prayed for him. Even before Samuel was born, his mother prayed for him. Look what his mother said in verse 27 of 1 Samuel chapter 1. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. He had a praying mother. Also, he had the privilege of being brought up in the house of God. Take a look at chapter 1 again of 1 Samuel. Look with me there at verse 24. And it says, and when she had weaned him, that was Hannah, she took him up with her with 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Right from his earliest days, Samuel was brought into the house of God. And of course, Christian parents, that teaches us the importance of bringing our children into the house of God. Bringing our children under the sound of God's precious, precious word. And of course, young Samuel was not only brought to God's house, but he was brought up in God's house. Because as a young child, he worked in the temple with Eli. And he was taught and instructed in the things of God from his childhood. Therefore, Samuel's circumstances were very favorable. Samuel was blessed because of the home that he was born into and because of the mother that God gave him. Like Timothy, from a child, he was taught the Holy Scriptures. And yet, when we read 1 Samuel chapter 3, we learn an interesting fact in verse 7. Underline it. It says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord." Although he was born into a godly home, although he had a mother who prayed for him even before he was born and prayed for him after he was born, although he was brought up to the temple and presented to the Lord as a child, although he worked in the temple with Eli, although he had the knowledge of the scriptures in his head and had all these wonderful blessings, it records for us in verse 7 that he did not yet know the Lord. Spiritual privileges and blessings, favorable circumstances in life, does not mean that you're ready for heaven. No matter what our circumstances are, we all need a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We need all personally to meet the Lord and to know the Lord. We all need to know the Lord in a personal way. And Samuel was born not knowing the Lord. My friend, we're all born into this world not knowing the Lord because we're all born in sin. Maybe there's a young person or even an older person here tonight. And you have the knowledge of the scriptures in your head. And you have been taught the word of God from your mother and father's knee. And you have been instructed in the things of God right from your earliest days. But you still don't know the Lord. Do you know the Lord? Is he your Savior? Do you speak to him day by day? Does he speak to you? You say to me, does God speak to people in this 21st century? Of course, God speaks to his people. God speaks to his people through the Word of God. And every time the saints of God read the Word of God and open the Word of God, the Lord, by his Spirit, through the Word, reveals his will to his people. And that's why it's so important to read the Bible every day. When you're a Christian, when you're saved, that's why it is so important to read the Bible day by day and to study the Word of God so that the Lord can speak to us. And of course, when we pray, we speak to the Lord. Samuel knew nothing of speaking to the Lord. Samuel knew nothing of knowing the Lord. Because it says in verse 7, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord revealed unto him. My friend, you need a personal faith in Jesus Christ. That's what you need tonight. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ meant when he said to Nicodemus, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." You see, Samuel's favorable circumstances did not change his heart. Spiritual privileges do not save your soul. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ tonight as your own and personal Savior? Have you repented of your sin? Have you by faith trusted Christ alone as your Savior? Have you received Christ as your own and personal Redeemer? Now, that's a question only you can answer. That's a question that only you can answer. But I pray tonight that you will answer it honestly within your own heart and within your own soul. You see, just because your mother's saved, just because your father's saved, that does not mean that you're going to get into heaven. Now, this is a theme that we have been thinking about all day. And we've been emphasizing this, even this morning. But here again, the Lord has laid upon our heart this message for tonight. And there are many similarities to the message this morning. Esau and Jacob had privileges. And Samuel, he has privileges as well. Born into homes where parents loved the Lord. But it's not enough to save your soul. It's not enough to redeem you and to bring you to heaven. And it's not enough to keep you out of hell. That's why I emphasize to you tonight, you need to come and meet the Lord and to know the Lord and to accept the Lord as your own and personal Savior. And you need to do that tonight, because the Bible says now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. He had many wonderful privileges. The Lord blessed him with favorable circumstances. But he still needed to be converted. He still needed to be converted. Now, something else I want you to notice here. Take a look again at 1 Samuel chapter 3. Not only the age at which Samuel was converted, he was a young child. Not only the circumstances in which he was saved, but I want you to notice the place and time of Samuel's conversion. Samuel was saved as he lay in his bed in the temple. But take a look at what it says in verses 3 and 4. It says, "And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel." So you can see where Samuel is here. He's in the temple. And he's in bed. He's going to sleep. And as he lies in his bed in the temple, the Lord speaks to Samuel. The Lord calls him. God spoke to Samuel on a number of occasions that night before Samuel realized that it was the Lord speaking to him. In fact, the Lord had to call and speak to Samuel on four different occasions. Take a look there at verse 6. "And the Lord called yet again Samuel." Look at verse 8. "And the Lord called Samuel again the third time." Now, of course, being familiar with the story, many of us will know that Samuel thought he heard Eli's voice. He thought Eli was calling him. And that's why he got up out of his bed and went into Eli and said to Eli, "What do you want? For you called me." And on a number of occasions, Eli sent Samuel back to bed and he said, "I didn't call you." But then it says that Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the child. Eli realized what was happening. And Eli said to Samuel, "When you go back to your bed again and hear the voice, say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" The Lord's calling you, Samuel. The Lord's speaking to you. And I believe we can pinpoint Samuel's conversion to verse 10. It's not right. "And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times." But this time Samuel knew it was the Lord that was speaking to him. "Samuel, Samuel." "Then Samuel answered, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth.'" Verse 10, I believe, reveals to us the precise moment when this young boy came to know the Lord. For the first time in Samuel's life, he recognizes the voice of God as being the voice of God, and he yields to the will of God. And he's converted. Where is he converted? He's converted in the temple. He's converted as he lies in his bed in the temple. And I believe, as I have said, verse 10 pinpoints that wonderful conversion, because for everyone needs to be converted if they're going to get into heaven. Now here's the question. Where were you at when you were converted? Were you in your bed? Were you in a church building? Were you walking down the road? Where and when were you saved?
You see, friend, salvation is an act. It is not a gradual process. Now, some people believe that salvation, conversion, is a gradual process. In other words, you grow into salvation. You don't grow into salvation. Salvation is an act that takes place in a second of time, in a moment of time. It happens in a moment of time. The Catechism asks the question, what is justification? And the answer is given, justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein he pardoneth all our sins and accepteth us as righteous in his sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. For Paul, that place and time of conversion was the Damascus Road. For Lydia, that place and time of conversion was outside the city of Philippi on the Sabbath day in a place where prayer was wont to be made. For Samuel, that time and place of conversion was in the temple as he lay in his bed. Where and when were you converted to Christ? That's the question that you need to ask yourself. Now, and you've heard my testimony many times, I can bring you to the very spot where the Lord saved me. I can bring you to the very place where the Lord saved me. I can remember the very moment when the Lord spoke to me through his word and convicted me of my sin and revealed unto me that I needed a Savior, and revealed to me that that Savior was Jesus Christ. And I can remember kneeling down and by faith crying unto God for salvation. Now, I didn't know much about the Bible. I couldn't have quoted you two verses out of the Bible. But I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was going to hell. I knew that the Lord Jesus Christ had died to save me. And I knew that if I cried unto him in repentance and faith, that he had promised to save me. And that night on the 13th of September 1976 in that old tent on the Brownstown Road in Portadown, that was the night, that was the moment, that was the time, that was the place when my life was changed forever. Now, when was your life changed forever? Was it at your mother's knee? Was it at a meeting somewhere after the gospel went forth? Or was it like Samuel in your own bedroom? You know, some people have got converted in the strangest of places. The Philippian jailer got saved in a strange place. He got saved in prison. My friend, it doesn't matter where you get saved, as long as you know that you are saved. There's a wonderful text of scripture in the Psalms. Psalm 87. Let me read you these verses. Verses 5 and 6. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. Verse 6. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people, that this man was born there. You see, God has a record book in heaven, and in that record book, known as the Lamb's Book of Life, God has a record of my name and the time and place of my conversion. That's what I believe. I have in my hand tonight my birth certificate. Now, I tell you the truth, I don't like to look at it too often, because the older you get, the less you want to look at your birth certificate, because it doesn't tell any lies. It just reminds you of how old you are. And not only does it tell you your age, but it tells you where you were born. The place of my birth, Portadown, the date of my birth was the 26th of the 11th, 62, and that's the record. And if I lost that particular birth certificate, I could send away up to Belfast for another one, because up in Belfast they have got the record of all the births that have taken place in Northern Ireland. There's a record book up there. So I can't deceive them and tell them that I'm younger than I am. They've got the true facts.
My friend, is your name written down in heaven? The Bible says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is your name written down in heaven? You see, I believe with all my heart that God has a record book in heaven. And the place of my new birth and the date of my new birth is recorded. And it will be recorded for all eternity. Samuel is in heaven tonight, and he's enjoying the presence of the Lord. But you know, the night when Samuel got saved will never change. The circumstances of his conversion will never change. The time and place where he was redeemed will never change. And it's the same for everyone else's conversion that we read about in the Bible. Oh, my friend, where were you saved? When was your life changed? The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. When we were born into this world, we were born out of Christ, on our way to hell, in our sins. We knew nothing of the new birth. It's so important that you experience the new birth and are gloriously saved by the grace of God. Now, you can drift on. You can drift on thinking that someday you will eventually grow into salvation, but it will not happen. It will not happen. You need to step out for Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe. Have you believed? And turn from your sin and accepted Christ as your Redeemer. Oh, my friend, if you haven't come to Christ tonight, only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. But make sure that you're saved. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, make your calling and election sure. Make your calling and election sure. Make sure that you know that you're going to heaven. I know that I'm going to heaven. I know if I was to die now, I'd be in heaven. Not because there's anything good in me, but because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me in the place called Calvary. I'm resting in the blood of the Lamb. I'm resting on the finished work of Calvary. I'm resting on the promises of God's Word. What are you resting on tonight? Oh, I pray that you'll rest alone in Christ. For salvation alone is found in Him. But you've got to step out by faith. What did Eli tell Samuel to do? Because he told him to do something. He says, Samuel, when you hear the voice again, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Now, when Samuel went back to his bed on that occasion, before the Lord spoke to him the fourth time, he had a decision to make. And his decision was this, either to listen to the voice or to ignore the voice. He knew the Lord was speaking to him. He knew the Lord was calling him. He knew what the Lord wanted him to do in many respects. And he had a conscious decision to make. And when the Lord spoke to him that fourth time, he could have ignored the voice. But he didn't. And you know, the truth is, sinner, you have got a decision to make. You've got to decide either to respond positively to the call of God or to respond negatively. I wonder what you'll do this evening. I put the challenge to you. We must be challenged when we turn to God's Word, and especially the unconverted. My friend, that night I was saved, I was challenged. God spoke to me. And He spoke to me very clearly. And I knew what I had to do. And that night, the Lord gave me the grace to come as a sinner to Jesus. My friend, you've got to come as a sinner to Jesus. And you've got to cry, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." You see, Samuel was willing for the will of God. Just like Saul of Tarshish. And you can pinpoint Saul's conversion to Acts chapter 9, I think it's verse 6. "Speak, for thy servant heareth." "What wilt thou have me to do, Lord?" That's what Saul said. "What wilt thou have me to do?" Willing to yield to the word of God and to the will of God and to the ways of God. And you know, friend, that's conversion. Willing to yield to God's word. Will you yield tonight to the will of God and to the way of God and to the word of God? And recognize that you're a sinner and realize that only Jesus can save you and call upon him in repentance and faith. I pray that God will give you that grace. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee this evening for the simplicity of the word of God. And we thank thee for the biblical record of every conversion in the Bible. O God, we thank thee that the vilest sinner can be saved and must be saved. But even the privileged child brought up under the sound of the truth of the gospel needs to be saved as well. O God, we pray that you would impress upon all of our hearts the need of God's wonderful and eternal salvation. And that each and every one here tonight will be truly born again of the Spirit of God. O Lord, teach us this evening that salvation and justification is an act of God. But Lord, it is an act that takes place in a moment of time. O God, come, we pray thee. And bless your word and these few thoughts from thy word this evening to every heart. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.